You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, Talk Tuners. Lately, I've been making some positive changes in my life, but it definitely wasn't easy, nor did it happen overnight. With the help of talk therapy, I've been able to grow and unlearn behaviors and beliefs that were causing me to feel stuck. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. And special offer to Stephanie and Stephanie Talk Tunes listeners. You can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/Steph and Steph. That's betterhelp.com/Steph and Steph. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast.
Hello, Talk Tuners. We hope you're having a really happy summer. We are here with episode 31 for you. I'm Stephanie Myers, my lovely co-host, Stephanie Pena. We're so excited. We're going to be talking about Sonic Youth today, actually, for those who are big fans. But first of all, it's summertime. Summertime means summer concerts. We're here to chat in this episode about the music and memories that have shaped our lives. But first, I want to just talk about summer concert season. Stephanie?
Yes, it's summer concert season. Can I get a hell yeah? Woo! So good. And, you know, Stephanie, throughout the course of our, you know, friendship, and even today, we're talking about amazing summer concerts that we went to. Curious to know, are you going to any summer festivals? You have maybe just, just some special shows you might be attending. Do you have anything lined up?
Let's see. The next one that I have is in the Hollywood Cemetery, Father John Misty. And that's, I think, in August. Yeah. And then when you go to Riot Fest, that would be the next festival I attend. And that's in September. And I was trying to think back, like, I don't know when the last time I went to a festival was. And I don't know what my stamina will be like in September, but we shall see.
Okay. So this is good. This is good conversation. And I know our listeners are resonating with this too, because we're coming back from, you know, pandemic, right? So for those that feel comfortable, they're going to festivals, and I'm in that boat, right? That's what I'm going to do. Fully vaccinated, et cetera. Do what I can, stand far away from people, do what I can. Anyway, be outdoors. So I need to ask, what do you bring with you to prepare for an outdoor summer concert? What are your must-haves? Mine is definitely, for survival, wet ones, because you never know what's going to happen. And when you eat, they don't give you enough napkins. Tissues, because there's never any toilet paper. And hand sanitizer, sunscreen, and a container for water. That's like my big thing. What about you?
That's a great idea. So I was thinking back recently and realized there was a time in my life when I would bring a tiny tape recorder and bootleg everything that I saw. And so I would have, it was called concert shorts that were like very specific cargo shorts that like fit this tape recorder. And I was, it was just like second nature for me. I would just bootleg all the shows. I guess now I could technically still do that with a phone if I really wanted to, but now I'm like, I'm good. Like, it's fine. Don't really need to have a lot of ways of finding that material, I guess. But back in the day, it was, yeah, really special. And I would make copies for friends who like couldn't go to the shows or whatever.
Yeah, but it's different now because now you can go on YouTube and look up the show you saw last night, right?
Yeah, so. It was different. Yeah, exactly. Different. Totally different. They won't know the vibe, like whatever. But yeah, I was thinking like that I used to recently, that I used to back in the day do that. And then now it's more about, I mean, I like what you're saying around water because that's something you need to continue to do. Probably blanket, sit down area because I don't like to be elbow to elbow with people and these things, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. I hear that. So guess what? I'm actually going to my first festival about a month from now. It's the Freaks on Parade tour that Rob Zombie put together. He's bringing Mudvayne, Static X, and Power Man 5000. And it kicks off July 20th in Maryland. Ain't that crazy? New metal industrial nostalgia. My youth, dude. You know when you met me and it's all I listened to? Remember you bought me a Rob Zombie CD for my birthday, which was phenomenal. You know, some little fun facts I just want to share real quick is that Disease are bands, again, my youth. Love it, love it, love it. Did you know that the lead singer, Spider, of Power Man 5000 is Rob Zombie's brother? They look nothing alike, and supposedly they live normal lives. So looking forward to seeing them together. I've never seen them together. I see them separately, but this is good. A little family reunion. And then I am just a little bit on the fence, and I don't know how I'm going to feel when Static X takes the stage, because as those who do know Static X or just follow music news in general, the lead singer, Wayne Static, he passed in 2014. Luckily, I was able to see him right before, months before his untimely death at the Texas Independence Fest. But check this out. So Static X decided that they wanted to, you know, bring on a new tour, but this is during pandemic, so cancel, cancel, cancel. But everyone's asking, who's going to play Wayne? Who's going to do Wayne's voice? It's the lead singer, Edzel Dope, from Dope. And he's wearing a mask, girl. He's wearing a Wayne Static mask. I don't know how I feel about this.
That's weird.
At all.
That's weird.
It is weird. It is weird. And then,
He's doing this for every show?
Yes, he comes out. He's not supposed to know. People are not supposed to know who he is. I think he knows. He goes by the stage name of Zero. But over the course of the shows they did do, like, you know, during the pandemic, whatever they could get by, people started noticing neck tattoos that were similar to the lead singer of Dope, Edzel Dope. And so the mystery was solved, who the masked man is. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I'm kind of speechless, actually.
Yeah, nuts. And then, well, let's end this on a good note. But Mudvayne's coming back! Holy metal! Oh my god! Oh my god, oh my god. Saw Mudvayne so many times, maybe about two or three times. But the last time I saw him was actually in New York in 2008 at Roseland Ballroom. Roseland in New York City. So that was awesome. I went solo because, you know, nobody wants to go. But that's cool. Anyway.
I bet it was a good show, though.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be awesome. So 10 plus years on a hiatus and they're back together. So this is exciting. But wanted to throw that out there. So Talk Tuners, if y'all listen to that genre of music, holler at us. Let's talk about this Wayne Static mask. I don't know. I don't know. But whatever. Neither here nor there. But we're here to talk about Sonic Youth today.
We are. And I'm really excited. I'm usually pretty excited, you know, when we record these. But Sonic Youth has such a series of touch points, really, for us. And in this case, you know, Sonic Youth, for people who don't know, I mean, if I just called them massively influential, that would be an understatement. And it's hard to even know where to begin when you talk about a band like Sonic Youth. They're, you know, they've influenced so many bands. I'll kind of just share similar or related vein. You know, there's the old quote about Velvet Underground. It's like not that many
people listened to them, but everybody who did went and formed a band. And I kind of think, you know, in many ways, that's the same with Sonic Youth, honestly. But people did, they did have that popularity, of course, when they were together. But, you know, you'd be surprised on, like, people who can't mention their songs. They can't, they don't necessarily know those off the top of their head. So it's something I always think about. They really deserve their due. They really, really do. So Sonic Youth is Thurston Moore on guitar and vocals, Kim Gordon, of course, on bass vocals and guitar, and Lee Ranaldo on guitar and vocals. And Thurston and Kim were together as a couple for many, many years, and we'll get into that. They were this rock and roll power couple for so long. So we'll get into that because that's really just part of the band history.
Yeah, and it's majorly important. So, all right, let's talk about the name of Sonic Youth, because when it just comes out your mouth, I don't know, I think it's the coolest name ever for a band. Sonic Youth. All right, so I did some digging on where they came up with this name. From youdiscovermusic.com, Sonic came from MC5's Fred Sonic Smith, and Youth is after the reggae artist Big Youth. Now, these are all New York artists, and they formed in 1981. So they've been around for quite a while. And I know that you love yourself some of the MC5.
I love MC5. We'll get to them in the future. But yeah, so cool that they're named after Fred Sonic Smith. I love them back in the days with Wayne Kramer. And then when they reunited, we did get to see them in Central Park. As we have done in many other instances. So just as an aside, but yeah, they continue this proud tradition of very influential bands.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, as you mentioned earlier, briefly, Stephanie, you know, Sonic Youth wasn't really like commercial success. They didn't hit a US success right away. They definitely, you know who they are, but I'm pretty sure there's listeners on the line who are like, wait, who's that? That's not Nirvana. When you think of indie music and alternative, you go to Nirvana, right? This ain't Nirvana. So these are like the, you know, the pioneers, and they actually started, their fan base was bigger in Europe when they came out in the early 80s. They were on an indie label, and actually, I'm going to be completely honest, I was introduced to them in 1994. So again, with commercial success, they hit it pretty big with Bull in the Heather. That is a song that is different from other Sonic Youth songs because Kim is the lead on the actual vocals, which is cool. Video, Kathleen Hanna, who is the Bikini Kill singer, is in there doing just dancing around and being silly with the band. So with that one video alone, that's how I got introduced to pretty much everything in 94. Come on, I'm watching MTV Alternative Nation. In 94, yeah, I got a 2-for-1 on cool band introduction because I was like, who's this other member? Like, who's this lady just dancing around? Is that fifth member? Or I was like, who is this? Anyway, and through the show and through the VJ and so forth, I learned that was Kathleen Hanna. And guys, Bikini Kill is actually touring now. So check them out if you can. So that's another cult band, pioneer, as you say, for indie music, period.
Yeah. And thank you for setting the context for Talk Tuners with Bikini Kill, because I think that's another band that folks should go listen to, right? If they haven't had the chance. as far as these collaborations, they were awesome. It's just the sweet spot in the 90s where they were happening. And it was really neat to see that across bands. But, you know, all good things, I guess, have to come to an end. So Sonic Youth did eventually break up. And it was really sadly, the breakup of the band was decided by Thurston Moore's affair with the book editor, Eva Prince. And Thurston and Kim did attempt marriage counseling, but Thurston refused to end the affair, which I think is pretty crappy. just inserting my opinion there. And then in October of 2011, they announced their separation and then were in this awkward position where they still had a few tour dates left to perform contractually. And so that was pretty awkward. Kim Gordon talks about it in her memoir.
Wait, pause for a minute. So you're saying that they signed a so they broke up before their tour was over.
Yeah, they broke up as a couple before their tour was over. And so it was like, well, we can't break up the band yet. But we have broken up our longstanding relationship, which was super, sounds like it was pretty awkward. They had a date or two in Brazil, but Kim Gordon talks about it in her memoir. It's called Girl in the Band. It's a really good memoir. But she was like, oh, it was our, she called it like a harrowing final show. And then she wrote, the couple everyone believed was golden and normal and eternally intact, who gave younger musicians hope that they could outlast a crazy rock and roll world, was now just another cliche of middle-aged relationship failure, a male midlife crisis, another woman, a double life. And I say her words there because I think first-person quotes are really powerful there, and I don't think there's commentary that I could make that would supersede something like that. So obviously, this was very painful. They're trying to continue the band dynamic. They're trying to continue to perform for people, but the relationship that had been there the whole time was no longer there. And so she talks about, she said the band's opening song was Brave Men Run in My Family. That's from their 1985 Bad Moon Rising. And she says, I could barely hold it together during the first song, Brave Men Run. At one point, my voice felt like it was scraping against its own bottom, and then the bottom fell out. Tonight, Thurston and I didn't look at each other once. And when the song was done, I turned my shoulders to the audience so no one in the audience could see my face. And so it was obviously like this terrible, painful thing that was like, okay, we're in the shambles of like, now we have to continue with this, these things that we've signed up for. And then, yeah, she says, we could have canceled the tour, but we signed a contract. Performing live is how bands make a living. We all had families and bills to pay. And in mine and Thurston's case, college tuition for Coco, which is their daughter. So, and then she said other band members were caught in the middle as well. But yes, there was a very terrible kind of breakup that happened. So their star shone very brightly, influenced all these bands. And then sadly, the end was pretty, in Kim's words, harrowing.
Yeah, like this couple for me was like the first Courtney and Kurt. Like I saw them and I thought they were just gonna be together to the end. And when I was introduced to them in 94, I started reading Spin magazine, Rolling Stone on the regular, getting to know the influence that this band had and actually getting to know about this relationship, because it was something that was always brought up because they've been together for a while. Man, that sucks. Wow. Wow, I have to read this memoir. That's insane. Oh my gosh.
It
the
just
feelings.
Yeah, it makes me feel terrible for her. It's just like, oh my God, like what they went through. But yeah, so that's the unfortunate way that things ended. What I think is on the silver lining or the flip side of all this that is a really cool positive thing is you and I got to see them several times prior to that, which I never thought would happen. So that was super, super cool. I got to see them in 2009 at Terminal 5. For folks not in New York, Terminal 5 is a huge, huge venue. It's not a terminal in an airport. It's a really big venue on the West Side. It used to be one of my favorites in New York to see a show. Yeah, but then it was like they overcrowded it. Like it became like way too much. And then I stopped seeing shows there. But at the time, it was really cool. They did a great show that night. I was near the stage, but it's a tiered set up, so I was on the second level, but right near there, and I was right near these upper speakers, and then I do believe that I forgot my earplugs that night, paid for. It does also seem to be a theme of this podcast where I forget my earplugs.
It does, guys. So talk to me. Wear your earbuds. It's important. If you get anything, any type of lesson from Stephanie and Stephanie, wear your earbuds. Please, and don't mosh.
What a great slogan for this show. What a great slogan for this podcast, honestly.
It's like a PSA.
Yeah. You don't want the next day. You don't want the hearing loss. Here, guys, the thing is, hearing loss, you don't get it back. So it's like, yeah, it's going to feel bad the next day. And you're like, oh, did I eventually get it back? Once it's lost, it's lost. Yeah. So really, do wear your earplugs.
Yeah, like no joke, y'all. For real. Come on, man. But no, that's pretty brave of you, Steph, because I do know that venue well. Not one of my favorites. I'm surprised you said that. I did not dig it, dude, at all. I never find a good spot to like just watch the show. It's obstructed views everywhere.
So big, yeah, that it's like kind of awkward to see things. And yeah, and this I just remember it being like it was kind of overheating or whatever, but it's like, oh man, Sonic Youth is here. But it was, we did get really good spots to see them. I believe I went with my roommate, Carol, who's a really big fan. So it was really neat to be able to see them do that. And it was, yeah, great to see them reunited. And then the year before, you and I got to see them in a totally different context.
Yeah, guys, this was epic. So 2008 at McCarran Park Pool, which is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. All right, y'all. So Sonic Youth actually played the last show there on August 30th, 2008. McCarran Park Pool is an actual pool that is larger than the size of 4 Olympic-sized pool. This is massive. And after its closing in the 80s, eventually, this is 2008, it became a beloved summertime concert space. And they were actually putting on shows like 3 years before, so 2005, 2008 was their run there. The pool eventually got renovated and it's closed right now, but hopefully sometime in the future it'll be open again because, of course, pandemic. But I was really surprised because I didn't think we were going to an actual pool. I don't hang out in Greenpoint. I never did. And I'm like, oh, it's New York. It's probably just like a pool hall or something. And then we literally hanging out in a fucking pool. Only in New York. I was like, wow. There's graffiti everywhere. You can see kind of like the dive board sort of. What is this? But nonetheless, it was amazing. It was a great venue. Other really popular acts played there, like Beastie Boys. They did a set there. So did MIA. I don't know where I was during those shows, but I should have been there. Anyway, another thing about that show that just sticks out. So I mentioned that I love Bull and Heather. That was the song that introduced me to the band. And I was really ready because guys, if you're going to go back in their catalog, you're going to know that Thurston leads the vocals. And so really enjoyed this one, Kim leading. They didn't play it. Story of my life, y'all. Story of my life. And I need to know about other talk tuners have gone to shows and been like, yeah, I can't wait to hear this song. And It doesn't get played. And I expected them to play it because, again, that's the one that kind of made them commercial. But that goes to show how cool Sonic Youth is. They're like, listen, kids, we've been here since 1981. We are legends. We are the pioneers of indie rock and alternative rock. We're going to play whatever the fuck we want. And guess what? You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. You're right.
It was a good, good time. Did you see any other shows at McCarran Park Pool?
I did, but I'd have to go back and jog my memory. Maybe Mission of Burma. It was somewhere in Williamsburg, but it was open air. So it was better than when we almost lost our hearing at Mission of Burma, and the loudest show I've ever been to before or since at the Williamsburg Music Hall.
Yeah. Well, man, that's pretty crazy. So y'all, this place is massive. Just literally, I did not expect to be watching Sonic Youth in an empty pool.
You didn't know what you signed up for, you know?
But it was great. It was great. It was very New York. So, and that was in the summer. So it was nice. And so like our Sonic Youth memories don't stop there.
Yeah, so 2008 is when, we went to this show at McCarran Park Pool. And then 2008 was also the same year that we got to see Thurston Moore at a special MoMA event. So I was going back and researching that night because I was like, oh, that was a pretty special night for both of us to go see this MoMA exhibit. It was David Bowie videos. Thurston Moore was introducing them. And that show was sold out. I mean, it sounds awesome. So, of course, like, everybody jumped on that. So we're like, oh, damn, like, we're not going to be able to see this. But via your connections, you got us tickets to be able to go see this in a pretty small auditorium, as I recall. Like, it wasn't huge. It was just like, oh, man, we found you two seats. So that was awesome. And it was so cool. It was so cool. We got to, like, honor David Bowie. Thurston's introducing them. And I just remember, I know you have some specific memories about this too, but I always remember you wouldn't approach Thurston afterwards to get your tickets to sign. And so I had to do it for you, which I barely could remember it. I got through my email and looked at this. I was like, what? Doesn't seem like you.
St. Meyer's making my dreams come true, dude. Yeah. I mean, until this day, and this is even before I started working in the industry, y'all. I started getting into the industry in 2009. I'm just not that person. I will not ask for autographs. I will not. No. I'm like, thank you for your time. Goodbye. That's just me. And yeah, so this, we got the tickets through my employer at the time, AICP. We did some events at MoMA. And so I was able to get it through that. So that was really cool. And like Steph said, it was sold out. There was no seating. We were actually hanging out against the wall. I guess they oversold the tickets. Somehow, miraculously, the ushers ushered us in into a row where there were two seats next to each other. Great. It's better than sitting on the floor. But there is an aisle seat that was open. And I shit you not, Thurston Moore sat next to me.
Yep.
To me. And he crossed his legs. He's all tall, y'all. And I was just like, my heart is coming out of my chest. And I'm like, what do I do? Nothing. I'm frozen. I'm going to sit here and just watch David Bowie, amazing videos. And then on my peripheral view, just gawk at Thurston Moore. I mean, dude, I remember like hitting you and you're like, oh my God. Oh my God,
it's Thurston.
And that's how you were able to get the his autograph because we were sitting next to him. What the hell?
Next to him.
Wow.
That's why I was like, oh, you're going to talk to him. And you were like, no, I can't.
No, dude, I'm just
very
not.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you did. Thank you so much. I still have that ticket stub, man. That was something else, y'all. Y'all don't expect somebody super famous icon to just, you know, hang out with you in the theater. I mean, oh my God. I mean, whatever, y'all. That was a magical night for me. It was really cool regardless. We're going to see one of our favorites, Bowie, being inducted into MoMA for his great artwork and, you know, and all his videography. I was like, wow, we're just like, this is the best night ever. I did see, so when the band Sonic Youth disbanded in 2011, but Thurston Moore started playing solo shows. And I actually had the opportunity to see him in 2013 at Auditorium Shores in Austin, Texas at Fun Fest. That was great. And so when he played, there weren't a lot of people there yet. And so again, I'm like on the rail because there's not a lot of people. It's not like, oh, we're all pierced like sardines. No. I was on the road because there were a lot of people. And I'm just like, dude, we have some clout. Like, can we talk about 2008? Have you been to MoMA since? But anyway, did it. Of course, I just enjoyed the set. Let him do his thing. But yeah, that, I don't know. Maybe I was like homies with Thurston Moore back in the day.
Maybe so. Yeah. Keeps crossing your path, you know, all these reasons. Yes. I did find out related to Fun Austin Venues. Stubbs in Austin is Thurston's favorite music venue. Also mine. That is like my longtime favorite place to see a show. There's so much cool history on that property. Folks who've never seen a show there, definitely check it out. Parts of it date back to the 1800s. It's incredible.
Yeah, dude, I didn't know that, man. Learn something new about you every day. So I had no idea that Stubbs was one of your favorite venues. I got a lot of memories there, of course, when I was working in the industry. I was in Austin, so always that stuff to do security and so forth. And I was even the merch bitch for a while, a little bit. So I have some good Stubbs stories. But yeah, great venue. And for those that do not know what Stubbs is, it is a restaurant as well. And they have good food. So check it out for sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're very, very cool. So that's one of my favorite places to see a show. I don't know if Sonic Youth have played there.
Right. So like Thurston, if you're listening, when are you going to play a show at Sonic Youth? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Just come on. Come back.
It's not going to happen. Whatever. Or just by yourself.
Yeah.
Right. It's fine. We'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Wherever you go, we will follow. Because you are a music genius.
It was really cool. Like when I look back on all these Sonic Youth memories, we just had so many. It's just like, until we're talking about it, kind of didn't even remember it.
Yeah, I know. Pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. You know, I guess we can definitely end this one with the knowledge of knowing that, again, we are very fortunate because we have seen some badass legendary acts. And this is one of them. So super, super excited to hear what any Talk Tuners have as far as memories go. With Sonic Youth, they've been on, you know, they were in the scene for a long time. You know, even let's talk about anything they do because their art's beautiful. Their videos are great. Their music is great. Their live performance are very captivating. So would love to hear from you guys for sure.
And keep in mind, as always, we are a member of the Pantheon Network. We love Pantheon. Thank you for your great feedback on reviews on Apple Podcasts and on Twitter. We love hearing them. We really appreciate it. From time to time, we will be reading the 5-star reviews that we get on Apple Podcasts. There's some very kind ones that we had read in recent episodes. So just wanted to say thank you for that.
Y'all, we got a full store, man. So check us out. We got t-shirts, we got socks, we got pint glasses, whatever you need for your summer concerts and you want to promote your favorite podcast, us, that'd be cool. You know, anyway, we got you, man. You can find us on, you know, directly from our site, emnystalktunes.com. So yes. And as far as decor, please reach out, continue to reach out. You can, give us a shout on any of the social platforms. So that's at Stephanie's Talk Tunes on IG, FB, and TikTok. And at Stephanie's Talk on Twitter. If you want to reach out to us via email, you can do so at stephaniestalktunes@gmail.com. This is Stephanie Pena. Thank you for letting me share my stories of Sonic Youth and Thurston Moore. I had a good time. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Peace out, guys. Stephanie Myers here. See you in 2 weeks. Thank you, Talk Tuners.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You just bought a home in the suburbs, but no one told you about all the birds, specifically this one, who seems to be calling out Roy. Roy. But who exactly is Roy? And why doesn't he ever respond? Maybe Roy is just bird speak for save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. I guess until Roy answers, we'll never know. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.